meditation today is found there in Psalm 30. Let's hear this portion of God's Word. I will extol you, O God, for you have lifted me up and have not let my foes rejoice over me. O Lord my God, I cried out to you and you healed me. Jehovah, you brought my soul up from the grave. You have kept me alive that I should not go down to the pit. Sing praise to the Lord, you saints of His, and give thanks at the remembrance of His holy name. For His anger is but for a moment. His favor is for life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Now, in my prosperity, I said, I shall never be moved. Jehovah, by your favor, you have made my mountain stand strong. You hid your face, and I was troubled. I cried out to you, O Lord, and to the Lord I made supplication. What profit is there in my blood when I go down to the pit? Will the dust praise you? Will it declare your truth? Hear, O Lord, and have mercy on me. Lord, be my helper. You have turned for me my mourning into dancing. You have put off my sackcloth and clothed me with gladness, to the end that my glory may sing praise to you and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks to you forever. The first thing I want to note here is that this is, we have a particular occasion noted here, and it is written by David. It is noted at the dedication of his house. Now, some people have mistakenly thought that this is talking about the dedication of the temple, or maybe looking ahead to the dedication of the temple, because you will remember the temple was not built in David's day. He gathered materials, he had designs put together, he had directions directly from God on how it was to be built and how ceremonies were to be done, how the priests and Levites were to have everything divided as far as tasks and duties were concerned. But the temple itself was not built by him. God said, no, it will be built in the days of your son, and so it was. But it doesn't even say that this is at the dedication of the house of Jehovah. This is the house of David. And this has to do, perhaps anyway, with the building of a physical palace. One that in his son's day, in Solomon's day, was far superseded. Or it may be looking to the time when God promised in 2 Samuel 7, after saying to David, you will not build me a house, it will be done in the days of your son, but I tell you, I will build you a house. And there in that prophecy, that promise given by God, was one of the more full expositions of the coming mediatorial royal reign of Jesus Christ. Upon this first prophecy, or this first telling from God, was the establishment of the fact that David's house would go on forever, and it would culminate in the coming of the great King, the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, the Lord Jesus Christ. It may well be that's what the house is spoken of here. Not a house built of stone, or of wood, or of any material thing, but even as we talk today about a prominent family, maybe, some prominent family that's well known for something, we speak of them as the house of someone or another. Sometimes we have, well, not in our country, but in other countries, they have nobility. And that family may be called the house of something or other. And certainly that is the case with royal families. In Britain, even now, the royal family is called the House of Windsor. And a lot of people are aware of that because we have this royal wedding coming up soon and this big hit movie, The King's Speech, and so forth and so on. So a family is often called a house because, well, they are originally from the same house. It's built out of stone or brick or wood or whatever. All right, a little bit of an introduction. There's one further thing I want to note here, and that is that this psalm is called both a psalm and a song. We have in Colossians 3:16 and in Ephesians 5:19, we have the exhortations from Paul to be singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. And Larry and I have both noted, too, that the word spiritual is so set together that it is the modifier for psalms, hymns, and spiritual, or excuse me, psalms, hymns, and songs, not just songs. Spiritual meaning coming from the Holy Spirit, meaning inspired or breathed out by God. And what would those breathed out by God, psalms, hymns, and songs, that are the Word of Christ, where would we find these? Why, they're right here in the book of Psalms. And this one is two of those all at once. It is both a song given by the Spirit of God, and it is a psalm given by the Spirit of God. So these aren't, when Paul is speaking there in Ephesians and Colossians, to give the proper book order, he's not talking about, well, sing some of the psalms from the Bible sometimes, and hymns out of the hymn book that date up to about, maybe 1920 or so. And then the latest ones, including our praise choruses and all this, that somebody has made up, and popular Christian singers and so forth and so on come up with. Well, those are the songs, and they're real spiritual, man. They're not second. That's not what's being talked about at all. What's spoken of are these psalms given by God, and those alone are being spoken of. All right. Whew, what an introduction. That's pretty well taken up the meditation time, hasn't it? So, we'll have to go quickly and say, David is looking here beyond his own circumstances. He is looking to the circumstances of the coming of the great king who is to be the culmination of his house, of his family, who will redeem himself. He is looking to the one whom Jesus has called Great David's Greater Son. The Lord has said to my Lord, in Psalm 110, David said, and his son, his descendant, is to be the Lord. Now, that is who is ultimately spoken of here. Not that we see David disappearing from view, not at all. Not that we see that there is no direct use for the believer here, not at all. But all that David gives thanks for, all that David has praise for, is because Jesus has earned it in his place. How is it that he can praise God? And that's what that word extol means, children. It's another word for praise. All right? Let's say, for example, in school you get an A on your paper and your mom and your dad are really happy about it and telling you how great it is that you do so well on these things. Well, they're extolling your scholarship, you think. All right, he can praise God. He can talk of God lifting him up. He can speak of not having foes rejoice over himself, because ultimately Jesus, in David's time, would come, would be beset about by foes, would have all kinds of troubles, would be taken to the cross, would die in the place of sinners, but would be raised again by God, having paid the penalty of their sin to the last penny. He would have paid it all. He did pay it all. And now he is raised. God's judgment is poured out. God's judgment is gone to the last drop. God's judgment is accomplished upon those who are in Jesus Christ. Therefore, David could say all these things. He could cry out to God, and God would hear him. The sinner, the one who has not God, cannot say that. He can cry out all he wants, but God will not heal, but only condemn him further. God would leave his soul in the grave, but just like Jesus, the one who is united to him in faith, even back in those days before Jesus came, David looked forward to the coming, to the person and the work of Jesus Christ. And because Christ would be raised according to prophecy in the Scripture, David trusted that he would be as well. And that was indeed the case. This is why not only he could give praise, but he calls upon us, not only in his time, but in our time and in all times to come, to give praise to Jehovah. We are to give thanks at the remembrance of his holy name, because his anger is but for a moment and his favor is for life. That is the case for believers. Because you see, we have already had the punishment of our sin taken care of. Christ bore it at the cross. And so this anger is not that which can and will drive us away from the throne, drive us away from heaven. This is anger at our sin in a way that a father who loves his child is determined to see wickedness removed and good character established. A good and godly earthly father wants to make sure that his children are trained up in holy ways. And so God does this. He disciplines us, not punishing us. He is angry at our sin, but not ultimately at us, because that anger was all poured out upon Jesus. But you see what he does. He disciplines, but then his favor, his blessing upon us is forever and ever. So it was for Jesus. There was weeping there in the Garden of Gethsemane. But on the resurrection morning, there was joy, not only for him, but all in him. Now David, when things were going well, said that he would never be moved, and he remembers now that it's only by God's favor that he was well established. But he apparently forgot it at the time. But when God went to make him a little more dependent upon himself, why, he hid his face, and then David was troubled. All our good times and all our hard times come from God, but if we are in Jesus Christ, they are all fitted by our Father to make us more fitted for heaven. So it is then that David was forced to exercise that faith. He cried out to this God instead of despairing and turning his face from God. What profit is there in my blood when I go down to the pit? Will the dust praise you? Will it declare your truth? Hear, Lord, and have mercy on me. Lord, be my helper. It kind of sounds almost like Jesus' words from the cross. Almost sounds like, my God, why have you forsaken me, as Jesus quoted from Psalm 22. Isn't that interesting? The one united to Jesus is united to him not only in his life, but in his death, but also in his resurrection. Because as David uttered these words, Lord, be my helper, he then, and you'll notice when I read this, I paused. He then said, you've turned for me my mourning. That means crying, children. It's not the same as mourning when you wake up in the... Okay, this is even spelled differently. When someone is crying and weeping and they're very, very sad, we say that they are mourning. All right? But God has turned away from that and turned my life into dancing, says David. You've put off my sackcloth. Those are special rough clothes, children, that people wore when they were very sad or very sorry. God has taken that away and given him clothes of gladness. Why? So that his glory may sing praise to God and not be silent. And that's what he does. Jehovah my God, I will give thanks to you forever. That's what the saint can and does say, because of the fact that Jesus, to whom ultimately David is looking, because Jesus went through all this for the sake of his people, it is guaranteed that we, though we go through difficult places and difficult times, will be led forth into joy and into gladness forevermore. And it is guaranteed. Why? Because so it was for Jesus. Led forth from the grave to life to the right hand of his Father in heaven.